take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes here to get the skinny on this WikiLeaks thing. We haven't talked a lot about it. Everybody else has, that's for damn sure. And I'm not certain that everybody's getting a firm grasp on the significance of everything that's been happening. Dare I say things have been a little one-sided. Now, here's a guy who has been writing about stuff like this forever, writing about rights and government and the function of government in a free society and playing by those rules and how you're losing and they're winning and things like that, books like Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, Attention Deficit Democracy, and so on. Ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location just outside gun range of the Logic Free Zone, James Bovard. Hiya, Jim.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Always always a pleasure. I tell you, as we used to say in the trade, it's certainly a target-rich environment.
Well, this is certainly a week for hip boots. it's fine. It's fine to see how this WikiLeaks thing is playing out. I just saw a press release from Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who's the top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, and he's issued a resolution, and he wants to have Congress to get access to all the documents that WikiLeaks put on the internet. Now, my impression is that some of these congressmen aren't so good with that thing, the internet. I mean, was it that guy from the state of Alaska was talking about, well, that's a bunch of little tubes, isn't it? It's like, yo, dude, you know, you could have gone on the internet and gotten the files. But, I mean, fact is, it is an unnatural act for a congressman to read. I mean,
well,
almost none of them do.
That is true. And, it's a... That keen sense for the obvious that they've become so famous for seems to have slipped into, maybe some sort of, it's on the back burner, definitely, for sure. But the one thing I was concerned about is as Metropol or whomever is out there looking for Julian Assange hiding out somewhere in, no doubt, in a UK bar somewhere, the outrage and the huffing and puffing from the elected elite is really rather I think it's pretty transparent, but everyone else seems to think that great harm has been done, and this is an act of terrorism, and we should all be very upset.
Well, great harm has been done to the idea that the U.S. government is trustworthy. But this is something that if people have been paying attention, that they would not have suffered from that fallacy. You know, it's fascinating to me to see how few people in Washington, D.C. seem to give a damn about the evidence that has been put forward here. There are so many cases of the U.S. government acting like a scoundrel, deceiving, twisting. You got Hillary Clinton out there nudging State Department employees to go out there and, round up people, foreign officials' credit card numbers and stuff like that. Well, this is, thank God that we're paying these State Department Foreign Service officers $100,000 a year to go out and act like some, stooge at the, at the train station stealing your credit card. There are so many areas where what these wires show, what these cables show, is the opposite of what the U.S. government was claiming in public. The same thing which happened with the prior leaks from WikiLeaks, and yet folks seem to say, well, that just proves that we have to hang this son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've heard very little concern for what has been leaked, what has been revealed, and the steamrolling of the function of government in a free society, the proper conduct, and all the rest of it. Who was it? There was a it was ABC, NBC, CBS, one of the newscasters, one of the talking heads, was more concerned about the stress that Hillary Clinton had been put under.
Andrea Mitchell, yep.
Oh, yes, Andrea Mitchell. Poor Hillary, yes. Poor Hillary being caught on the international stage with her bloomers around her ankles.
Well, I mean, that's not something I want to think about.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used that. That's a terrible mental image.
Well,
I apologize.
That's a nice way to segue into the TSA, but maybe it's too soon for that. There are so many things that Hillary Clinton looks like a complete rascal here, as did prior officials. And yet, again, it's just the focus in D.C. is almost entirely on, well, you know, we've, you know, it's important to find a way to find a law we can charge these people with, or this, that, or the other. There is so little appetite for evidence. Instead, it's just a question of who benefits and this, that, and the other. And the fact that the U.S. government has been shown again, you know, I don't know why any American who pays attention would trust the U.S. government on almost anything.
Well, I guess we've all been trained. I personally, I don't speak moron, so it's difficult. It's difficult to get into conversations with a lot of these people. But do you get the sense that the ubiquitous outrage, as demonstrated by virtually every elected official that's had an opportunity to have a microphone shoved in his face, is because they're all complicit? Or is this just some sort of Pavlovian response to anything that could be critical of the government establishment?
Well, the thing that WikiLeaks has done is tarnish the prestige of government. And these politicians, these congressmen love to stand up on a pedestal and talk about how they love freedom. The fact is, what they love is power. And what these leaks have done is show that power is awfully damn sordid. And that that folks are out there talking about spreading democracy and freedom, almost all of them are full of crap. And that is something which goes to the heart of the Washington ego. And that is why so many of the congressmen are so upset by this. But, the thing that's striking to me is that you've got Hoekstra, the top guy in the House Intelligence Committee, talking about how he wants these documents. You know, so much of this stuff that has been leaked out should have been subpoenaed by Congress long ago. The founding fathers want Congress to do oversight, to be a check and balance on the executive branch. Most of the congressmen are either incompetent or unwilling to do that, or simply lazy or cowardly. And because of that, you end up having these private leaks that have a huge impact. And if Congress was doing its job, it would be a non-story because, yeah, this is something which we heard about last month. We heard about that last year. But almost nobody on Capitol Hill does the digging.
Why not?
Lazy, cowardly, can't concentrate. I mean, it's interesting going to some of these congressional hearings and watching your average congressman try to cross-examine a witness. It's just like, you know, it doesn't fill you with faith in democracy.
No, and I've been to a few of those. After they get past their well-prepared and ghost-written opening statements, and they've got to sit there and swim in the deep water with facts and questions and answers and all the rest, things get downright soporific, I think is the term. But the complicity across the board on this, you know, for both parties, all agencies,
absolutely,
and all the rest, Hillary Clinton being very concerned about the mental and emotional stability of the president of Argentina. I don't know. Is she planning on running for president too in 2012? I don't know. It makes you wonder. It certainly goes to the heart of, as you said, tarnishing the trust and faith of the federal government. But I would have thought, and certainly you're in a better position traveling around more than I, that the American public had started to get, like, the American public had started to catch on to the game. Okay, all right. I can tell that's the Wilson, you're so naive laugh.
Okay. Well, you know, Brian, it's interesting. I thought the same thing after Waco. I thought the same thing after the controversy erupted over Ruby Ridge. I thought the same thing when President Clinton's approval ratings were collapsing. I said, okay, people are drawing the right lesson that neither party, and there is basically no one in power in Washington who deserves the level of trust they have received. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But I don't see it.
Oh, I don't think I'm right. I was just kind of hoping I was right.
Oh, okay. It was a rhetorical question. I'm sorry.
I thought that, you know, because you travel about and you speak to groups and, you know, and all the rest of that, and you do lots of radio interviews with lesser talk show hosts, that there would have been some indication that, because what I see, when I see, like, all of a sudden, Interpol has an arrest warrant out for this guy on something unrelated, Doesn't anyone understand all they want to do is get this guy off the street and away from the send button?
Well, not only that, but it's fascinating that the media is giving 10 times more attention to that than to the evidence that these folks have presented and how the U.S. government is screwing Americans and screwing the world. And
yeah.
It looks like a really shaky case, but I also think that if they do manage to grab this one guy, that's not going to shut it down, because there's a bunch of folks, I don't know if I'd call them a team, but there's folks that are learning how to do this stuff. And the thing that I hope is that somehow some other U.S., you know, it'd be great if there were a lot of leaks from some of the abuses in U.S. Homeland Security, like TSA. For instance, I mean, it was obvious in the last 6 weeks the TSA has given the signal to these TSA agents to start, you know, squeezing butts, basically, for lack of a better term.
And other body parts, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. to make it punitive to punish people who refuse to go through these X-ray machines, and folks who don't want to get skin cancer are to be treated like public enemies. It's really great that a handful of folks organized and led a widespread revolt against that last couple weeks, and it's ongoing, and hopefully that's a sign of a change of the times.
Well, I would hope so, although I did put a lot of credit into the suggestion that credibility into the suggestion that because they were afraid of the massive backlash that was coming, that they just stopped pulling people out of lines and stopped doing a lot of things that they had been doing to make it appear as if the demonstration, the opt-out
absolutely.
Thing, was had fallen flat.
Yes, I read that may have been the case, but it's not like TSA abuses are going to go away.
No.
So the experience that you've had flying, the experience I've had flying, I mean, it's not like, well, no, that's too crude. Okay.
No, I'm done flying.
That was real close.
Yeah.
Family radio.
Yeah. Maybe I can borrow Nancy Pelosi's broom, but I think that's probably as far as I'm going to go. With that, the other thing that, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day, I haven't done any looking into it, but it bothers me a little bit as technology marches on. Obamacare comes in, and doctors and hospitals and so on are going to have all of your medical information and mine on computer someplace. If you can break into, if you can somehow download and walk out with a flash drive full of the nation's most closely guarded secrets for whatever reason, either for diplomacy or military or whatever, and then splatter them all across the internet. What if somebody in your local hometown decided to hack into the local hospital?
Well, this has happened again and again with the Veterans Administration. The VA has a terrible record of protecting the privacy and sanctity of veterans' health records. And this is something which happened again and again over the last 6 or 7 years. People mentioned it when they were pushing through Obamacare and pushing through the mandate to computerize medical records. But people said, well, you know, it's important for that not to happen again. Oh, well, that's good. That's good. But no, I mean, this is something which is going to happen. Congress and the federal agencies simply don't give a damn. If they gave a damn, they would not have passed the laws they've passed. But basically, it's going to happen, and you're going to have some congressmen and some bureaucrats saying, tut, tut, and that's it. And you're screwed, and I'm screwed.
Yeah, well, there is that part. We'll have to get to Chapter 2 the next time around. Thanks a lot, Jim. Always a pleasure having you on. Always educational and insightful and, dare I say, fun.
Well, you know, I was happy to cheer people up.
Yes, I know. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Hey, thanks for having me on the air, Brian.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks. We'll talk again. Be well. There goes Jim Bovard, author of Attention Deficit Democracy and a host of other books that are enlightening and educational and entertaining and informative on top of that.